In today's episode of The Daily Brief, I'll talk about two interesting stories. I first talk about the Meesho IPO, the challenger of India's e-commerce. And finally, I talk about how SEBI caught a Rs. 2 crore front-running case. Welcome back to The Daily Brief show by Zerodha, where our aim is to simplify the biggest news in the financial markets in a way that's one level deeper as compared to news channels. I'm your host, Akshara, and today is Tuesday, 28th October. Coming to the first story. For over a decade, Amazon and Flipkart shaped Indian e-retail by pouring billions into warehouses, logistics, and next-day deliveries. But now their dominance is being squeezed from two directions. In big cities, instant delivery upstarts like Blinkit, Zepto, and Swiggy Instamart are poaching convenience-seeking customers. High-value urban shoppers who once might have used Amazon or Flipkart for small, quick orders are instead turning to Qcom apps for super speedy service. We've covered this aspect of e-commerce multiple times. But in smaller towns and rural India, a very different threat has emerged in the form of Meesho. While the giants were busy wooing metro customers, Meesho quietly captured price-conscious shoppers across Tier 2, Tier 3 cities and villages. It's the online equivalent of a DMart or Vishal Megamart, thriving on ultra-low prices and no-frills operations to serve the masses, representing over half of India's new online shoppers. Now, quick commerce has gotten a lot of hype for its flashy speeds and massive VC bets. But value commerce is proving just as disruptive. Meesho's upcoming IPO shines a spotlight on this less glamorous evolution, a mass market, low-cost model that's fundamentally different from Amazon or Flipkart's playbook. Today, we'll talk about that. The most interesting part about studying Meesho was the different innovative ways they were coming up with to cater to Indian retail, much different from traditional e-commerce players. Meesho's journey is a story of pivots. It began in 2015 as a platform for small sellers to set up online shop fronts, then gain fame with a reseller-driven social commerce model. Think homemakers selling products via WhatsApp. By 2021, however, Meesho had reinvented itself as a more direct marketplace. Why? The reseller model, while novel, didn't scale cleanly and people had become comfortable buying things online. So Meesho shifted to a zero commission marketplace where consumers buy straight from the app, more like a traditional e-tailer. Unlike Amazon or Flipkart, Meesho doesn't charge sellers a commission fee at all. 0% commission on most categories means small vendors can sell online and keep 100% of their earnings. This was a radical move. Meesho essentially foregoes the typical approximately 15% marketplace cut to attract a flood of tiny sellers and super low-priced products. So, how do they make money? Largely through logistics and advertising. We'll dive into monetization soon, but the key is that Meesho's take rate or revenue as a share of total merchandise sold is the lowest in the industry by design. At the heart of this strategy is one realization. 75% plus of India's retail market is unbranded or regional products, and even by FY 2030, that share will be approximately 70%. So in other words, the long tail of no-name products is the market in India, not a bug. Meesho explicitly caters to this segment. The platform is flooded with affordable fashion, home goods, kitchen items, cosmetics, mostly made by small manufacturers without famous labels. The average order value or AOV on Meesho is only around Rs. 260, which is a fraction of the AOV on Amazon or Flipkart. But that's not a flaw. It's the whole point. Meesho embraces falling AOV as a growth feature. Lower ticket size equals more people buying more often. As the company puts it, the Meesho flywheel is all about wider assortment at cheaper prices, which means more customers, which attracts more sellers, which means even better prices and variety. While others chase higher spending per order, Meesho is happy to race to the bottom on price because that's where the mass market in India lives. Today, Meesho hosts 5.7 lakh plus active sellers, mostly small manufacturers, local wholesalers, and home entrepreneurs, many without GST licenses. Over 80% of GMV comes from fragmented, unbranded supply that bigger e-coms largely ignored. Meesho built the rails for them. Sellers can list and ship nationwide, while Meesho owns no warehouses, no inventory, and no private labels. It's a pure asset-light marketplace aggregating India's unorganized retail online. Another piece of insight in Meesho's different business model is that shopping in its target market is more like browsing a bazaar than searching a catalog. Over 70% of orders on Meesho come from discovery and recommendations and not from users typing in what they want. This discovery-led commerce mimics the offline window shopping experience. By contrast, on Amazon, you typically search for a specific item with intent. Meesho's audience is less intent-driven and more exploratory, as Redseer's research puts it. So to fuel this, Meesho is now investing in content-led commerce features. Think short videos, live streams, and influencer campaigns showcasing products. The company's filings mention plans to integrate live streams and video shopping, creating a shop-as-you-scroll experience in-app. Today, content-led discovery accounts for a small but growing portion of Meesho's sales. Of course, a discovery-driven model has trade-offs. Engagement is high, but conversion rates and ticket sizes tend to be lower than in search-based shopping. Many people may window shop without buying or stick to very cheap purchases, but that doesn't bother Meesho. Instead, it plays into its strengths. Since Meesho doesn't charge sellers a commission, how does it earn revenue? Here's a short answer. By operating like a logistics and advertising company sitting atop an e-commerce platform. Coming to logistics, every order on Meesho runs through its system, which assigns deliveries to partner couriers. Sellers pay a shipping fee to Meesho, which is a major income source. In FY25, its in-house logistics arm, Valmo, handled 62% of Meesho's orders, lowering costs by roughly 12% compared to traditional couriers. That efficiency lets Meesho keep the cost of delivery low while still earning a margin on the delivery fee it charges its sellers. Now let's talk about advertising. Meesho also runs an ads platform where sellers pay to promote listings in search results or feeds. With millions of sellers, visibility is scarce, so ad spending is rising steadily alongside the seller base. And now coming to some new bets. The company's DRHP outlines early experiments, a financial services platform, credit for sellers and buyers through partners, and expanding Valmo's logistics services to non-Meesho merchants. These are small today, but point to future revenue streams. Despite having no commission income, Meesho's monetization scale is striking. In FY25, it generated ₹9,390 crore in operating revenue on ₹30,000 crore of net merchandise value, or NMV, which is an effective take of about 31%, mostly shipping related. For context, rivals typically earn 10 to 15% commissions plus shipping fees. Crucially, that 31% includes logistics costs. The pure marketplace commission remains zero. Yet, Meesho's model has become increasingly efficient. Its contribution margin rose to 4.95% of NMV in FY25, up from 2.94% in FY23. Scale and cost discipline have pushed Meesho close to profitability. In FY25, it posted an adjusted net loss of only ₹108 crore and delivered positive operating cash flow for two straight years. For a zero-commission marketplace, that's rare. Over the past year, Meesho served 21 crore buyers, giving it nearly 30% of all e-commerce shipments in India. But because each order is small, its share of merchandise value, or NMV, is far lower. The average order value, or AOV, is just ₹274, down from last year as Meesho pushed into even cheaper categories. Management sees that as a win, deeper reach into low-income markets. At first glance, the ₹3,915 crore loss in FY25 looks worrying, but 98% of it came from one-time accounting items, mainly a corporate restructuring and accelerated ESOP vesting for founders. Excluding those, the underlying loss was only ₹108 crore, effectively break-even. Operationally, the improvement is dramatic. The adjusted EBITDA margin climbed to approximately 2.3% in FY25 from approximately 29.5% in FY23. Meesho also generated positive operating cash flow of ₹539 crore and free cash flow of ₹591 crore thanks to better cost discipline and working capital management. By FY25, it had stopped burning cash to run daily operations, a rarity among Indian unicorns. A big driver was efficiency in marketing. Sales and marketing spend dropped, down from over ₹900 crore in FY23, even as user growth stayed above 20% CAGR. That suggests a powerful referral loop. Existing users bringing friends and family onto the platform rather than Meesho buying growth through ads. Meesho plans to raise about Rs 7,000 crore in its IPO, including a fresh issue of Rs 4,250 crore. According to the DRHP, the money will primarily strengthen its tech backbone and market reach. The largest share goes to expanding Meesho's tech infrastructure, which is servers, cloud capacity, and hardware, via its tech subsidiary. The investment, spread over FY27-29, will boost platform speed, uptime, and scalability, reducing dependence on costly external cloud vendors. Technology and talent will get approximately Rs 480 crore, which is about 11%. Now, around a tenth of the proceeds will fund hiring and retention in AI, data science, and engineering. The focus is improving personalization, recommendations, and seller tools, essentially the brain power behind Meesho's discovery-led engine. And then we have marketing and brand, approximately Rs 1020 crore, or about 24%. Nearly a quarter of funds will go toward brand building and outreach, especially across Tier 2 and smaller cities. Expect heavier online campaigns, influencer tie-ups, and regional programs. Now, this is a shift from Meesho's earlier frugality. Marketing spend fell from Rs 927 crore in FY23 to Rs 643 crore in FY25. So this marks a fresh push. The rest of the funds will go toward general corporate purposes and a war chest for acquisitions or new initiatives, giving Meesho flexibility to invest in adjacent categories or acquire niche players that complement its ecosystem. Now, no business is without risks, and Meesho's model, while groundbreaking, comes with a fair share of challenges. So Meesho's customers shop for the lowest price, not the brand. If a rival, say Shopsy or a revived Snapdeal, offers the same goods cheaper or with cashback, users could switch instantly. There's no lock-in like Amazon Prime or exclusive brands to keep them loyal. And retention is an ongoing battle when your biggest hook is price. So Meesho must keep its deals unbeatable and experience frictionless to prevent churn. Zero commission onboarding lets anyone become a seller. Great for scale, but tough for quality control. Product reviews often mention mismatched items or poor durability. With mostly unbranded goods, trust depends entirely on recent customer experience. A few bad purchases can push users away, reinforcing the cheap equals low quality stigma and driving up return costs. Roughly 75% of Meesho's orders are cash on delivery or COD, and only about 75.5% of those are actually completed. Nearly 1 in 4 COD orders fails, meaning the customer refuses to pay or can't be reached. Each failed delivery burns money, which means double shipping costs with no revenue. Even successful COD orders add friction, cash collection, reconciliation delays, and leakage risks. So failed orders incur round-trip shipping cost, which is often a loss. Plus, for the ones that are successful, cash has to be collected by delivery agents and remitted, a process prone to leakage and delays. Each of these challenges is manageable. Meesho is investing in Valmo, tightening return systems, and pushing digital payments. But they're real execution tests. The DRHP devotes pages to these risk factors for a reason. Meesho's mass market disruption is exciting. But investors will be watching closely to see if it can sustain growth without bleeding from these cracks. So, what does it mean for the IPO? Meesho's IPO isn't just another tech listing. It's a signal that India's e-commerce playbook is being rewritten. In a decade, this startup has built a mass market giant by focusing on value-conscious Bharat shoppers, outselling Flipkart in order volumes while nearly breaking even. It did so by empowering small sellers and winning buyers with 200 rupee saris and 100 rupee gadgets, all through a zero commission model that turns the traditional marketplace logic on its head. By serving the India that Amazon and Flipkart largely overlooked, Meesho embodies a new kind of disruption. One half of the market wants things faster, hello 10-minute delivery, the other wants things cheaper, and Meesho owns that side completely. For investors, Meesho's IPO is more than just a listing. It's a bet that value commerce, and not just convenience commerce, will power the next phase of digital India. Now coming to the second story. Recently, SEBI put out a detailed order in a front-running case where a few traders made over rupees 2 crore by trading ahead of a big client. Now, front-running in simple terms is when someone gets an early tip about a large buy or sell order that hasn't yet been placed, trades ahead of it, and then exits once that order moves the price. SEBI's investigation shows how that information moved, who used it, and how the entire chain stopped trading the moment the regulator came knocking. Let's dive into how this particular case of insider trading worked and how it unraveled. So the investor at the center of this case was a set of family trusts, which included the Bharat Kanayalal Sheth, Ravi Kanayalal Sheth, and Arjun Discretionary Trusts. They traded through a partnership firm called Safe Enterprises, which acted as the execution arm for their investments. However, Safe Enterprises itself wasn't accused of wrongdoing, they were merely the channel of investment. Inside Safe Enterprises sat an investment team led by a man SEBI calls Notice A1. He placed the orders with two brokers, Ambit Capital and MK Global, often staying on the phone with the dealers as the trades were being executed and sometimes adding more quantity midway. That meant he always knew, down to the minute, which stock the client was buying or selling and how much. That information, which was meant to stay confidential, became the raw material for the front running. Now, here's how the leak went down. Notice A1 was in constant touch with another trader that SEBI calls Notice A5, who worked at a small sub-broker called NJK Securities. The firm was run by Jitendra Keval Ramani, listed in SEBI's order as Notice A2. So according to SEBI, this was the pipeline. Notice A1 shared details of upcoming trades with Notice A5, who passed them to Keval Ramani. With that knowledge, Keval Ramani began buying or selling just before Safe Enterprises' orders went out. However, he didn't always trade in his own name. Some orders went through his wife's and HUF accounts, and some through his employees, and many through his clients' accounts that he operated directly. SEBI found instances where clients admitted that he effectively ran their accounts and he decided what to buy, when to sell, and sometimes even arranged funds. In one case, money was routed through a client's husband to bankroll the trades. In another, he sent trade confirmations to clients after the fact for them to sign. Payments between Keval Ramani and Notice A5 that were categorized as salary were far larger than what their small brokerage business could justify. SEBI eventually concluded that these were not salaries at all, but kickbacks for the information being passed along. So, how did SEBI get alerted to this trade? Now, the front-running trades took place between January 2021 and October 2022. They stopped abruptly on June 29, 2022, the day SEBI sent its first query to Safe Enterprises. Now, this wasn't a formal investigation yet, more of a routine information check, which was maybe triggered by their market surveillance systems. That one query turned out to be a turning point. And from the very next day, the suspicious trading pattern vanished completely. Months later, in May 2023, the National Stock Exchange formally compiled and sent its findings to SEBI. The exchange's data showed exactly what those early alerts had hinted at. Whenever Safe Enterprises placed large buy or sell orders, a cluster of other accounts traded the same stocks seconds earlier and squared off within minutes. The pattern was too precise to be a coincidence, and that's when SEBI opened a full-scale investigation. It pulled nearly 2 years of order and call records from January 2021 to October 2022 and matched them side by side. The overlap was striking. Take August 4, 2021 for instance. Moments before Safe Enterprises began selling a stock through Ambit, there was a short call between Notice A1 and Notice A5. Within seconds, Jitendra Keval Ramani's account and a few linked ones began selling the same stock. Once the big client's sell order hit and the price fell, they bought it back immediately, locking in a quick profit. The same sequence, quick calls, identical trades, rapid exits, kept repeating for months. Out of 424 trading days for the big client, 328 days showed overlapping trades, most lasting less than 2 minutes from entry to exit. Keval Ramani was the hub. Around him were spokes. His employee Shankar Vadatkar and Vadatkar's wife, his own wife and HUF, and about 13 client accounts that moved in sync with his trades. Now, many of these accounts were new and fell silent after the regulator's first query. SEBI says this behavior is typical of proxy accounts created for a single purpose. On days when the big client traded, these accounts' square off profits spiked. On other days, they earned almost nothing. In SEBI's charts, the alignment is almost perfect. Same stocks, same direction, same timing. Over those 328 days, the network made around Rs 2.06 crore in total. Safe Enterprises itself wasn't accused of wrongdoing. It was the channel through which the family trusts placed their trades. But the insider who ran its desk, Notice A1, had access to everything. Which stock, how much, and when. Once that timing information leaked, the sub-brokers group could mirror the trades almost instantly. When SEBI issued show-cost notices in January 2024, the main trio, Notice A1, Keval Ramani, who is Notice A2, and Notice A5, opted to settle. In December 2024, they paid back the entire Rs 2.06 crore with 12% interest and were banned from the market. And that took care of the insiders at the top of the chain. The current order deals with the remaining 13 linked accounts, mostly clients and relatives who had either allowed their accounts to be used or followed Keval Ramani's trades. SEBI imposed a mix of penalties and trading bans. The steepest monetary penalties, Rs 12 lakh each, went to Swapnil Uday Shah HUF and Piyush Mehta HUF. Shankar Vadatkar, another employee in the sub-broker's office, different from the one who settled earlier, received a Rs 10 lakh fine and a 3-year market ban, the longest debarment in the group. Each has 45 days to pay through SEBI's online portal. Until they do, their bank accounts can be debited only for the penalty amount. If they hold any open derivative positions, they're allowed 3 months to close them, and they can't open any new ones. What this case shows more than anything is how little escapes SEBI's radar anymore. There was no tip-off, no confession, just timestamps and trades too perfectly aligned to be chance. A few people thought they'd found a quiet edge, but all they really did was leave behind the clearest evidence of how front-running works and how quickly it unravels. Now coming to the tidbits. IndusInd Bank's former deputy CEO Arun Khurana has paid 50% of alleged insider trading gains to SEBI, leading to the unfreezing of his bank accounts. Khurana and ex-CEO Sumant Kathpalia were accused of trading irregularities worth nearly Rs 19.8 crore that led to their exits earlier this year. Now coming to the next tidbit. Reliance Industries is fast-tracking its battery equipment shipments from China before new export controls take effect on November 8. The move aims to protect its clean energy plans as China tightens oversight on battery tech exports crucial to Reliance's solar and storage projects. Coming to the final tidbit, Elon Musk's Starlink has started security trials in India, a key step toward launching commercial satellite internet by early 2026. The SpaceX venture is building 10 ground stations across India, triple its rivals, and aims to tap millions of rural users as India opens its space and satellite market. That's all the news I have for you today. Thank you so much for watching, and see you in the next one.